Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another exciting edition of Blog Talk Radio, Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis. Shipment is 10:01 a.m. March 9, 2020, 45 degrees and sunny here in Brooklyn, New York. And we had an excellent, if exhausting, weekend. I spent the day with my child. Hope you had a good one as well. Well, let's get right into it. The stock market has plummeted, crashed, and trading has been halted as of 9 o'clock. The Dow plunged more than 1,900 points in a brutal global sell-off, and Treasury yields dived to new lows, amplifying recession fears. The threat of coronavirus fueled the oil war and continued panic around the outbreak brought markets to unprecedented lows Monday, triggering the first ever forced halt on trading after Standard & Poor's 500 index sank 7% shortly after the open. The Dow Jones Industrial Average cratered as much as 2,000 points before clawing back. The forced freeze was a sign of unprecedented volatility for Wall Street amid the most turbulent trading in recent memory. Another 15-minute halt will be triggered if the S&P 500 losses hit the 13% threshold. In the event of a 20% decline, markets would shudder for the day. Quote, end quote, the bull market's 11-year birthday is today, but investors are not in a celebratory mood, with trading halted shortly after the open as markets plunged. Greg McBride, chief financial analyst at Bankrate.com, wrote in commentary Monday, quote, the uncertain economic impact of coronavirus continues to grip markets, with stocks, commodities, and interest rates all dropping sharply. Market I hate uncertainty, and there's a ton of it currently in play, end quote. But for the first ever halt, seems to have a stabilizing effect, spurred a rebound in all U.S. indices. Less than an hour after the freeze, the Dow was down more than 1,380 points, or roughly 5.3%. The S&P 500 was also down 5.3%. The Nasdaq was 4.8% in the red. Oil prices tumbled into the 30s after Saudi Arabia and Russia deadlocked over production. The Saudis have been pushing for a cut in output to prop prices, but did a reversal when Russia balked and decided instead to flood the market with hundreds of thousands of additional barrels per day at a steep discount, a move analysts may fear may trigger a price war. Cheap oil is one thing, super cheap oil is another, said John Kidoff of Again Capital. The stock market is looking at oil price plunge as a canary in the coal mine of a disinflationary 1-2 punch driven partly by cratering demand for transportation fuel and a wanton price war among the major oil producers that will result in big losses for U.S. and Canadian producers. Crating oil prices might please consumers at the pump, but they would be devastating for oil companies and global markets, which have already been ransacked by the coronavirus pump panic. Brent crude, the global oil benchmark, plunged more than 21% to $35 a barrel, its biggest drop since the Gulf War. The price of West Texas Intermediate crude, largely used in the United States, fell from about $41 to $32 a barrel Sunday night, a low not seen in 4 years. Global markets were apoplectic. Japan's Nikkei closed down more than 5%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index shed more than 4.2%. European markets were tumbling more than 7% across the board in midday trading. Panic pushed the yield on the U.S. 10-year Treasury below 0.4% for the first time in history Monday as investors fled for safe havens. The trajectory could be an ominous sign of a weakening economy because a low yield can indicate a lack of confidence in economic growth. Yields decline as bond prices rise. Gold, another safe haven, was up 0.4% in early trading. Confirmed U.S. coronavirus cases surpassed over 500 over the weekend, with cases in 30 states and the District of Columbia. Americans are beginning to face disruption to their work and travel, and a list of major events canceled in the face of the outbreak grows by the hour. Many grocery stores and pharmacies report being cleaned out of bottled water and disinfected product and shelf-stable and frozen foods. The virus has spread to more than 95 countries and sickened more than 110,000. The broader stock indexes finally succumbed to the unraveling of an unbelievable period of excessive optimism on the part of investing public and spectators, says Steve Craig, chief NSE analyst at Ellicott Wave International, in an email. It's easy to blame the global selling panic on fears of a coronavirus pandemic, but it has more to do with the unwinding of excessive investor optimism than anything else. We're in trouble, boys and girls. I travel extensively, mostly up and down the East Coast. And I was driving yesterday, and gas was extremely, extremely low. That's great for us, the consumer, the end user. I love it because I have a big SUV. You know, I'm not a big guy, but I'm a tall guy. You know, so I require a lot of room. So I'm in my SUV and my child, you know, we like to be comfortable. And it uses a lot of gas. You know, it has a medium-sized engine. It doesn't have a gigantic engine. But it's, you know, given the amount, the distances that I travel, you know, it consumes quite a bit. And so it's been great for me, you know. Yesterday I shelled out maybe $100 on gas, and I still have a half a tank left, which will, you know, now that I'm home, you know, it'll last me a while, you know, because I only use it to go up and down the street to the store or whatever. But in the larger scheme of things, you know, it has a cascade effect on other industries, obviously. So, you know, I'm not hoping that gas goes up substantially, but you know, certainly, you know, I'm going to enjoy the ride, literally and figuratively speaking. And we have Chump the Brain Dead Comic Con Bark, aka Clueless Clown, continuing to lie and try to mitigate the effects of coronavirus. Trying to spout false equivalencies and suggesting that it's no worse than the common flu, influenza. And influenza is bad enough, but if you have a compromised immune system, these sort of viruses can wreak havoc and kill you. It is that simple. You know, I'm older, but I'm in good shape. I don't take any medication, anything, you know, thank God, knock on wood. But, you know, typically people in my age range have a host, a panoply of, ailments and maladies, you know, due to age and diet and lack of exercise. And I do all those things. You know, my diet isn't the greatest, and I'm going to, you know, address that this week. I really am, you know, because I like stuff that isn't good for you. The point I'm trying to make is that diet plays a role in your overall health and well-being. And, you know, being that I am older, if I, you know, don't address the diet part, I will, you know, have, a lot of the symptomology and the disease associated with eating poorly. So I'm going to take care of that today. But the part I'm trying to, you know, the larger issue that I'm trying to express is that, you know, typically this thing is going to affect people with compromised immune systems, immunodeficiency, and that sort of thing. You know, not necessarily people with, chronic managed diseases, you know, if they're managed, but, you know, people that have unmanaged immunodeficiency diseases, you know, older folks who are on a lot of medication, you know, I'm talking about, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of medication. You know, I had a doctor once on Advil, and I just, you know what I did? I literally put it all in the bag and threw it away. And I fast, prayed, meditated, and just changed my diet. And now I'm starting to get the bad habits back again. That's why I was suggesting that I was going to, reinvest in myself and stop eating as poorly as I have been, you know. So, and I, you know, I absolutely have to, even though, you know, we are creatures of habit. And oftentimes there are things that we, you know, we like and we believe we can't live without. But, you know, you won't be living at all if you continue to consume them, especially, you know, in excess. You know, I think that, you know, moderation is the key. You know, if you want to do those things, you know, you want to drink, you want to smoke, you want to, you know, eat, you know, a lot of high-fat food, and you're not on a keto diet, you know, where you're, you know, that intake is being offset by not consuming carbohydrates, you know, which is very complex. You know, you really need a dietitian or a nutritionist, somebody who has studied, you know, this thing. You know, like, keto diet didn't agree with me. You know, I had tremendous amount of inflammation, you know, and I was, you know, again, because I'm older, I was unable to ambulate or get out of the bed even sometimes without being in extraordinary pain. So I got off of it and I went back to, you know, carbs, and not low carbs. I've been eating carbs, but, you know, that I'm not happy with that either, because carbs have an effect on your body. You know, they tend to be, your body tends to store them, and it's no good. But anyway, this isn't a diet show. I just wanted to share that with you because, you know, coronavirus, you know, is not something to be toyed with. Just like influenza is not something to be toyed with. Typically, I'm not a big fan of vaccines and being immunized. I was as a child. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, you know, that era, you know, immunizations were a big, gigantic thing, and we all had them. I had a mark from my first immunization up until I was in my mid to late 20s. You know, it only went away then, you know, on my arm. And I, you know, I look for it. It's not there any longer. Of course, that's, you know, many ago. You know, you notice I didn't say years. I said many decades ago, because, you know, it was. So, I typically do get a flu shot because, you know, I had a pharmacist tell me, you know, that I'm in the demographic that, and I know that I am. You know, this is why I'm very conscientious, or I try to be at any rate anyway, you know, minimizing stress and that sort of thing in my life, and, you know, not drink, well, I don't drink at all, but, you know, I like cigars. But, you know, I try to do everything with moderation. I try to. I'm not always successful, you know, but you know, I'm very, very concerned. Fortunately, we haven't, you know, the mortality has been mainly among older, you know, above 50, which I am. I'm well above 50, and certainly above, you know, people that have chronic severe maladies, you know, and definitely compromise immune systems. Those are the, it seems that that group is at greater risk, tremendous risk, for complications associated with coronavirus. So, you know, we have Trump running around Washington, D.C., which is hip with corona, by the way, suggesting that it's not a major problem. You know, it's just like the flu, and it could be managed, you know. And I was reading an article, I was reading a tweet. You know, the guy wrote a series of tweets. It was very illuminating. I don't quite know who he is, but seems like an academic type. And he was saying how the Chinese have managed it so far, managed to contain it, which Kelly Conway, you know, counsel to the president, suggested that he had done, which is a lie. He hasn't managed anything, and he certainly hasn't contained it, because every day we hear more and more states, and now that we're up 30. You know, just last week when I did the show, we only had, you know, two states that were affected, and that was Washington State, and I forgot the second state. Might have been California. So now we have a lot of fatalities, not a lot, but I mean, you know, relatively speaking, all we have quite a few fatalities in Washington State, mainly Seattle. And see, this is the problem. I'm not an epidemiologist. You know, I am a scientist, but, you know, I'm not that type of scientist. So, you know, I couldn't, you know, quote you the statistics. What I suspect, well, not what I suspect, what I read from credible sources is that the epicenter here in the United States, which is Seattle, Washington, that's Amazon is up there. You know, you have quite a few, I believe Boeing is up there. You have quite a few. It's a beautiful city. You know, rains a lot up there, so, you know, it tends to be dreary. But, you know, it's a world-class city. And in the Pacific Northwest, so, you know, it's very, very, very wet. You know, a lot of rainfall up there. So what they're suggesting is that, you know, once the testing becomes widespread, which Trump is lying about, this is the point I'm trying to get to, you know, circuitously. They're saying that there's going to be a tremendous spike. And, you know, I had a problem the other day. I was just thinking about this. You know, I even got angry. I don't know why I got angry, but, you know, because I know how selfish people are. But I had I read an account of a gentleman, that's a stretch, of a guy in New Hampshire, a little small New England state up there on a border between Massachusetts and Vermont, who left for a conference. Or maybe he was from Maine and went to, you know, it's all New England up there. You know, I traveled up there extensively. It's beautiful, beautiful, rural, extremely cold, and extremely white. I used to go up there all the time, you know, Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont. I used to be in that area a lot, you know. And just went to a conference at Dartmouth, which is in New Hampshire, so that's why I suspect that he was from Maine and had traveled down. If you know anything about New England, you know that you know, New Hampshire is down in the southwest. It's southwest of Maine, at any rate, anyway, because Maine is the furthest northern state that we have. And just, you know, knew he was infected and didn't care. You know, I mean this sort of stuff can boggle you if you allow it to, and I allowed it to, because I'm just like, you know, because I've been personally affected by people's selfishness, and this is just mind-boggling that the guy is just this self-consumed and inconsiderate and selfish that he thought that he didn't care. He is not that he didn't think anything. He just did not care and literally traveled, exposing people to a deadly, this is a deadly virus. You know, now, and the other part of it is, you know, I don't know, and this is what I'm trying to figure out, since there is no cure, you know, what happens, you know, after the incubation period, and what happens to people that are relatively healthy, children and young adults, and, you know, even a rare individual like myself that's older but in good health, that contract a virus, but, you know, become carriers, but, you know, in other words, at what point do you stop being a carrier? That's what I want to know. And this is what we're not being told. We're not being given any information. And this is why the economic toll is going to be devastating, because you have, you know, a lot of major events around the country that have already been canceled. And these are drivers of the economy. You know, when you're talking about the South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, which is a major, it's on par with New Orleans Essence Festival and the Voodoo Fest down there. So you're talking the South by Southwest, and now we're getting into our area, you know, entertainment, being canceled in Austin, Texas. That's a major driver of the economy in that area. Beautiful area of Texas, you know, very liberal compared to the rest of Texas. And they cancel it. They cancel South by Southwest, you know, which might have had, you know, it's a huge venue, and they might have had, you know, maybe 100 artists booked for that. You know, everybody and their mother goes down there for that. You know, all your major country artists, a lot of hip-hop artists, you know, emerging. This is where you hear all your indie stuff. You know, a lot of emerging artists, you know, doing, you know, really eclectic but really good stuff, neo-soul, you name it. And, and so, you know, what I believe is that this, the economic impact is going to be worse than an actual virus. But that's my concern. My concern is why that question is not being answered. What happens after a person contracts it that's relatively healthy, and when does he or she stop being, you know, somebody that can actually transmit it? And that's something that we're not being. It's not being answered. So this long tweet by this guy, series of tweets, suggests that China has managed to contain it because, you know, they're an authoritarian government and they restricted movement. That's simply how they did it. They just, you know, just like I was, you know, and I suggested in a tweet about this you know, guy up in Maine or New Hampshire, or from Maine, who had traveled to New Hampshire. I suggested that he ought to have been immediately arrested. But there's a provision in federal law, and I believe, I'm not sure, you know, what this clown has done in the White House, you know, if he's invoked it or only partially invoked it, Wartime and Emergencies Act. And I'm not going to cite the exact statute, you know, it's irrelevant. But Emergency Powers Act, which would allowed him to have this guy arrested and transferred into military custody, and then he could sit out his quarantine period on an Air Force base somewhere, because that's what should have happened. You know, I mean, you know, when you have this sort of thing, you have to take extreme measures, man. And yeah, we have civil liberties in this country. Some of us do. You know, that poor hapless black guy down there in where was it at? I don't believe it was Texas this time. It was another state. Can't think of the name of the state, but they executed him for, you know, a crime. Alabama, yeah, that he wasn't guilty. He had participated to the extent of he was there. And I don't believe that somebody that was just there, you know, irrespective of whether someone else perishes or not, and I'm not unsympathetic to that, But simply because you were present doesn't mean that you have the degree of culpability that requires that mandates that you be executed. That doesn't make sense. I mean, just from a moral perspective, but at any rate, you know, so that's the question that I have. I think I'm going to pose that on social media. You know, why can't we get answers to that particular question? Because we're raising questions about coronavirus, but we're not being given enough information, and no one in the press has asked that question, as far as I know. What happens, you know, does it just go away or what? I mean, you know, or you know, because it's spreading all over the world. And we've never seen anything like this, man. It's really fast. You know, it comes from a family of viruses, and you can look it up yourself. I'm not, you know, I told you I'm a scientist, but I'm not that type of scientist. And, you know, the corona family of viruses, which contains MERS and SARS, is all respiratory. So they're not even really sure the transmissibility, how it's transmitted. They suggest that it's droplets and this sort of thing, you know, because, you know, you think in the typical sneeze, you know, sneeze travels up to 20 feet at 100 miles per hour. So that means that if you're in the area of a person that's sneezing and he or she is infected with something, you know, you need to be out of Dodge. You don't even, you know, because I go in places in my late, you know, my late mate, she used to kid me about that all the time, you know, that I was a germaphobe. And I'm not really a germaphobe. I just believe in good hygiene. And I was suggesting to my child yesterday, you know, we were sitting down in a restaurant eating, that he, you know, he wipe his utensils and wipe his hands. And he did. And I was so proud of him. You know, my son is young, you know, compared to daddy. You know, I'm really old enough to be his grandfather, but, you know, I had him late in life, and, you know, he's the joy of my life. And we were sitting there eating and talking, and, you know, beautiful woman across was over there. These women always smiling at us when we're together, I guess, you know. I don't like to say that I'm rare. I'm not rare. You know, I'm a father just like anybody else, and most fathers love their children. And she was gorgeous, though, but she was smiling at us as we were sitting there eating. And, you know, he was wiping his hands and talking about it because apparently, you know, I had wrote his mother and told her that I was very, you know, but I haven't heard any reports of children, you know, dying from it, which is encouraging. You know, it's just older, you know, people with underlying medical conditions, you know, that lack the fortitude to fight the virus. But we're going to talk more about it next week and coming weeks, and we're going to see what transpires. And we just pray about the nation and about the rest of these countries and, you know, the victims of this particular virus and the bungling response by, you know, this president. So let's hope and pray that we, over the next week or two, have a great week and be careful.